Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Are found and sick people are healed and hurting hearts are restored, restless souls awakened, where prodigals come home and families are strengthened. I see a church radically committed to taking the message of hope beyond these walls, the Savior once given for all who call upon His name. The church I see, everyone brings their best with a focus on excellence, where honor is given and passion is shared, a kingdom on fire in power and prayer. The church I see, it never stops going, it never stops growing, relentless on mission, a passion and vision, where Jesus is famous. The restless awaken, the wayward are rescued, the hopeless are saved in one purpose. It drives us, a hope for the hopeless, His kingdom unfolding, His favor upon us. She's compassionate and faithful, enduring and great. She's bold and unshaken, full of power and strength. No weapon formed against her will prosper. Not even hell with the devil can possibly stop her. The church I see is just getting started, blessed beyond measure, called to endure till heaven is upon us, life is restored, till the fullness of the promise of one. The church I see, the best is yet to come.
I got to tell you, every time I see that video, it gets me stirred up and pumped up. Is anybody excited to be back together in God's house with God's people? Can you do a little bit better than that? I'm thankful. So excited. Man, what a great day. What a day. I want to officially give you my welcome. I don't know if you heard, but we're back, baby. And it's so good to be together again. And I got to tell you, you look good. I hope you feel good. I know some of us, and this includes me for sure, we got our quarantine 15, gaining our extra pounds. That video's from 8 to 9 months ago, and I can tell I was a little bit skinnier just a few short months ago, but we're thankful and we're excited to be back together. And I got to tell you, there's a couple reasons that I showed you that video at the beginning of my message here today. And the first one is this, that what we said back just 8, 9 months ago when we grand opened our newly renovated building, we had launched Church Online, Spanish translation, what we showed back then in that video and what I said up here on this platform, I wanted you to hear from me at our first service back that this is still true, what we said back then for today. That even in the middle of COVID-19 and all the unrest and the racism and the violence in our country, there is still hope, and His name is Jesus. Amen. And we got good news to tell people. And the second reason why I wanted to show you that video again is it's all about perspective, right? It's all about seeing not just with our natural eyes, but seeing with our spiritual eyes. And really, you may not know this, but this is how faith works. In fact, maybe you're like me, and each day that you wake up, so including today, you had to put on contacts or glasses to be able to see properly. Anybody like me? Got any friends in the house? Yeah, like our eyesight's horrible, right? If we didn't put on our contacts, if we didn't put on our glasses, not only would we have the wrong perspective, but some of us, we can't see at all. And even in our own home, we'd be bumping into stuff and walls, and especially if we got behind the wheel, God forbid, it would not end pretty for us or for other people. And so each day, what do we have to do? I'm talking about sight. We've got to put on contacts. We've got to put on glasses every single day. I wish it was a one and done, friend. I've needed glasses, contacts since I was in third grade, probably even before then. And I wish I didn't have to go through that routine in the morning and night. But how many of y'all know it's something you have to do every day? Like, I can't put on my glasses, you know, 10 years ago and be good still here today. Every day, I need fresh sight. And faith, again, is the same way. How many of you know that you can't rely on your faith from 10 years ago to see properly? You can't rely on your faith from yesterday to see properly. It's a daily, moment-by-moment thing to put on faith, to see your world, to see our world through the lens of faith. And so here's my job today. Here's my focus. Here's my mission on We're Back Sunday. I want all of us, before we leave, to look and see our church, to look and see our world through the lens of faith. To put on the right lenses, to see not just in the natural, but to see the supernatural, to see with the eyes of your heart. So I hope you came today ready to be encouraged, because I want to encourage some folk as we look to God's word. And so I want to jump right in. If you're taking notes, I'm still in a line from that spoken word back in September, but I'm calling this message, The Church I See. Would you write that down? The Church I See. And I'm going to jump right into it because I don't have a lot of time, friend, and we got some staff members to dunk in ice cold water for your enjoyment after service, okay? So jump right in with me. Open up God's word if you got a copy to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Such a good text that we have from the good book. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to start in verse 14, go all the way through verse 21. And if you hear it in the room, we'll have it on the screen here as I read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we also want to give a shout out, before I forget, to everybody watching on YouTube, Facebook, our website, listening on the podcast. Glad that you're with us as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 14. Now, this is so good, what we're about to read, okay? So I hope your posture is in such a way that you're ready to receive God's word, because he can change your life just by reading God's word. So get ready for this. Chapter 5, starting in verse 14. For Christ's love compels us. Because we are convinced, somebody shout convinced. Amen. We are convinced that one died, talking of Jesus, for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Verse 17 is maybe the verse you memorized if you grew up in church like me. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. And this is from God. Like, I don't know if y'all are getting this, but like, this is good stuff right here. This is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry. If you're here last week, I told you all, you're a minister. The ministry of reconciliation, verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Aren't you thankful for that today? The born again believers in the house. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Anybody love God's word like I do? Like, I could drop the mic right now, but I got too much to say about the text, okay? So don't be hoping for that, because I ain't going to do it. I got some stuff to say here. But let's pray and let's get ready before God, and then I've got a word for you. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for another opportunity to gather together in person. Oh, how I missed gathering together with your people in your house. And I pray, we pray that all of us would not just be here to play a game, but I pray that all of us would be here on mission for a purpose, ready to receive a powerful word from you. God, we do not rely in a man or in a building. We rely in you. So may you speak to us. May you change us. May you bring fresh revelation for us. May you do a great work in us all. And God, I pray that today, in this moment, we would all put on the lens of faith, not to see only what we can see in the natural, But to see what you're doing in the supernatural, to see with the eyes of our heart, to see through the lens of faith. Help us to get to that place as we dig deep into your word. May we have fun while we're doing it. In Jesus' name we pray. And if you believe it with me, would you shout amen?
Amen.
Come on, would you shout amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's good. Thank you. It's good to hear some amens. As we try not to just see with our natural eyes, but our spiritual eyes, I want to highlight a few things from the text. I just got 3 points, okay? And so I'm hoping we got some note takers in the house. I worked hard on this message. You can work for 15 minutes on your note taking, all right? So here's the first point that I want to highlight from the text. The church I see, number one, we're convinced. We're convinced. The church I see, we're convinced. So we find this in part B of verse 14. What does it say? We are convinced that one died for all. And I got to tell you, I've been at this church for over 2 years now, and I have never shied away from preaching the truth, and you better believe I'm not going to start today. So I want you to hear something from me. I am convinced that Jesus is God. I'm convinced. I'm not speaking for you. I'm talking about me. I am absolutely 100% convinced that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm convinced that he is God. But maybe, just maybe, you're not convinced. Maybe you're watching online and you're saying, you know what, that's great for you, Pastor, but I'm not convinced just yet. Let's find some common ground, okay? Maybe you're not convinced, but here's our common ground. Whether you realize it or not, it is a fact that Jesus is the most famous person on the planet to ever live. It's a fact. Let's find some common ground first. It's not debatable at all. Think about it like this. There have been more paintings painted of Jesus than anyone else. There's been more songs written about him than anyone else. We sang a few together a moment ago. More books have been published with him as a central focus, including the main book, the good book, that we're learning from here today. And by the way, you don't hear about this a lot. It's an all-time bestseller, the good book, the Bible. But wait, there's more. I've told you this before, and maybe you'd even realize this before today because you talked about it when you're in elementary school, but even his life, we used it to show our history. Think about it. We gloss over that a lot. We learn it in elementary school, but we forget. B.C., before Christ, A.D., after death. His life, we use it to mark history. And whether you choose to worship Jesus or not, it is a fact, friend, that he has been worshiped more than anyone else on the planet. You may not be convinced that he's God just yet, but common ground, you need to know he is the most famous person to ever live. He's a big deal. I even found out this past week that he's on Instagram. Did you know that? He's got well over 1 million followers on Instagram. That sealed the deal for somebody. Like, I'm telling you, he is the most famous person to ever live. We can't debate if he's famous. It's a fact. But what about the original question? The main question that I want all of us to wrestle with here today. Is he God? That's the question you must answer. I wish I could answer it for you because I told you how I feel, what I know. But you must answer that question for yourself. You see, C.S. Lewis, incredible man of God who wrote so many life-changing books. Maybe as a kid like I did, you read the Chronicles of Narnia. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, or maybe you read Mere Christianity or Screwtape Letters. There's so many books that he's penned. But I love this quote by C.S. Lewis that really puts the question we're asking right now, is he God, in perspective? Okay, so here's the quote. Here's what he said about Jesus. Jesus' claims to be God are so clear that we only have 3 ways to respond to him. Jesus is Lord, Jesus is a liar, or Jesus is a lunatic. I want you to think about that. These are your only logical responses to God. And I want to break them down for us here quickly. Let's talk about that lunatic one for a moment. I'm talking about a crazy man. Now, if you tell me after service, friend, that you're God, you will be a lunatic. You will be crazy. We'll pray for you. We'll lay hands on you. We'll have you take a nap and then go see a doctor, okay? But Jesus, he said this about himself. Not just me saying it or people in the Bible. Jesus called himself God. And so one conclusion you could come to logically is that he is a lunatic. Here's the second one, liar. What about that one? Again, Jesus claims to be the one true God time and time again. If you have a physical copy of God's word, you'll read that in the words in red in a lot of your Bibles. He talks about himself again, that he is God. And another conclusion you could come to logically is that he was a liar, that he's a con man, that he was trying to trick billions of people with this elaborate plan. You've got lunatic, liar, or then you got the place where I believe we all should be, Lord. Please hear me. If he's not a lunatic, and if he's not a liar, the only other conclusion you can come to is that he is Lord, that he is God. And if he's God, then we should honor, imitate, obey, respect, and worship him. And you must wrestle with these options, because no one can tell you what to choose. You have to choose for yourself. Young person, hear me. Mom and dad, their faith will not be sufficient for you. You must make your own choice. Is he lunatic, liar, or Lord? These are the only conclusions that you can come to. And again, you know where I stand. I am convinced that he is Lord. I am convinced, and in the church I see, we're convinced that no one is God but him, that Jesus is the truth, he's the way and the life. I wish you'd help me preach this message, that he's the answer for all the hate, racism, and violence in our world today. He's Lord. And what we're talking about is faith. What we're talking about is belief. What we're talking about is trust. You cannot just say today, well, I kind of like the guy, or I want to follow him sometimes. It's an all or nothing thing. So who is he to you? Is he a lunatic? Is he a liar? Or is he Lord? You must make this decision for yourself. And again, the church I see, we're convinced. No one can talk us off that mountaintop. We believe in God. We believe in our Lord and Savior, that he's the one that we need. The church I see, not seeing in the natural, friend, but seeing with the eyes of faith, the church I see, we're convinced. So I just want to ask you logically and rhetorically, ask yourself, are you convinced? Oh yeah, I go to church sometimes. That's not what I asked you. Are you convinced that he is God? Are you convinced? Would you think about that, wrestle with that. Here's a second point. The church I see, we're compelled. We're compelled. We're compelled. What's the beginning of verse 14 say? For Christ's love compels us. Compels us. So I'm just going to say this as plainly as possible. I said it first service. I'm going to say it again in this service. If you have been saved by Jesus, if you have surrendered your life to God, if you have been set free by Jesus, you will not be quiet about it. You won't. This is not an introvert versus an extrovert thing. It's not, I like to speak in front of people. I don't. If you have been set free by Jesus, you will tell everybody and their dog about it, okay? You won't shut up about it. People can't quiet you about it. There's no way you could stay quiet, because you know what God has done in your life. And if you've been changed like I've been changed, you'll tell every single person you can, whether you have a microphone or not, that Jesus is exactly what you need. You will. You'll be compelled. And I don't think we have enough people in our church that are compelled. We've got to be compelled by God's love, that I can't help but tell people about Jesus, that I can't help but serve someone else, that they can't even hold me back if they wanted to, because I must tell my neighbors, I must tell my friends, I must tell my family, I must tell that random person at Walmart that's creeping me out. I gotta tell somebody about Jesus. Like, I'm not perfect. I'm not a theologian. I can't quote verse and like chapter and verse any second that I want to, but I got to tell somebody of how God set me free. I got to tell somebody of how he healed me. I got to tell is anybody hearing me today? Is this thing on? I got to tell somebody that Jesus works better than any substance, alcohol, drugs, earthly relationships. It is not sufficient, but God is. The Apostle Paul, the original author here, says, you know what? I'm compelled. I'm compelled. How could the Apostle Paul say that? Because his life was turned upside down by Jesus. And if you have truly encountered the one true God, he will turn your life upside down. In a good way, by the way. He will. And the Apostle Paul used to be called Saul. He's like, man, Jesus has saved me. Jesus set me free. And I can't help but give him my life. I'll say it to you another way. He was passionate about Jesus. What are you passionate about? Oh, I love the Texans, Pastor Ryan. I love them. They're so good. They're never good to me, but they're so good. Oh, I love basketball. Fear the beard, Pastor Ryan. I don't know why you're talking like this, but that's just how I picture it in my mind. I'm passionate about my stocks. I'm passionate about my savings account. I'm passionate about my family. That's great, but what are you most passionate about? Where does your passion lie? I got to tell you, this is why my family and I, a little over 2 years ago, moved to Houston. We were compelled. Like nobody could keep us back from coming here. And I just gotta be honest. Just give you a personal illustration here. We're from Dallas. My wife is originally from Nevada. When we got married, she's a transplant Texan. She moved to Texas. I was born and raised in the Dallas area. And things were going great in Dallas before I got here. Now, I'm not telling you this to make you feel sorry for me. You shouldn't feel sorry for me. I'm just explaining how this relates to my life personally. But we are a part of an amazing church there in Dallas. I was there for 7 years plus. God did extraordinary things, so many miracles, so many signs and wonders, things you read about in the New Testament that God talks about. Jesus himself says, you know what? Even more should happen. Amazing things, marriages healed. We're reaching teenagers and children. I mean, just incredible what God was doing. I had an amazing staff that they directly reported to me. I loved every single, and I still love every single one of them. We had an amazing home, the small town that was close to one of the big cities there in Dallas. I had friends, my wife had friends. At that time, we just had one kid. Our son, Luke, had so many great friendships. What are you saying? I'm saying we did not leave Dallas because things were bad. We didn't leave Dallas for new opportunity because we needed something better. We left Dallas because we were compelled by the Holy Spirit to come to Christ Covenant, to come to a church in a city where we knew zero people, to sell our home, to say goodbye to so many friendships, a lot of people we still have not seen since we moved here. And again, you should not feel sorry for me. We gladly left all of that for you. Why? Because we were compelled by the Holy Spirit. I could not stay even if you slashed my tires and doubled my pay, y'all. I couldn't stay. I was compelled. I had to get to Houston to meet you. I had to get to Houston to partner together with you to see our city change for Jesus. God's love compelled me to come here. Don't feel sorry for me. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying I am not asking you. God's word is not asking you to do something that I haven't done myself. Well, it's uncomfortable. Well, I'm not a pastor. How do I do this? How do I do that? You don't have to know all the answers. But will you be obedient to what God's asked you to do? Please hear me loud and clear. Let's make this declaration over our church. A couple of years in since I've been here, we will refuse to just do church as normal. Just want you to know that. We'll refuse. I don't know about you, but I'm honestly no longer interested in trying to go back to the good old days of 2019. Like I know they're really good compared to 2020. I get that. I get that. But if you really think about it, 2019 wasn't that great anyways. There was issues and there was problems. So I refuse to try to go back to normal. And I got to tell you this. I know I'll get an amen on this, and I believe I will. I'm definitely not interested in the new normal. Can I get an amen? Don't you hate that phrase? You dislike it strongly with all your heart. like I just got to tell you, here's where I stand. Here's where I believe God wants us as a church. I just want new. That's what I want. In fact, on the count of three, could somebody shout as loud as you can? You'll feel a little funny doing it, but could somebody shout as loud as you can new on the count of three? One, two, three.
New.
Like I just want new. What does verse 17 say? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. Here's that word again. The new is here. So let's stop chasing what happened way back then, and let's start moving forward to the new thing that God has for us. I'm talking new salvations, new life, new miracles, new healing, new growth, new blessing, new opportunity. God's love compels us to stop looking in the rearview mirror at what's behind us and to move forward to the new thing God has before us. Convinced, we're compelled. Here's the third point. The church I see, and I want you to be a part of it. I know not everybody will join forces with me, but I want a few. You'll say, you know what, Pastor, I read God's word, and I'm going to go all in. Their point, the church I see, we're carriers. We're carriers. This is verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Ambassadors. What does that mean, Pastor? It means this. You, as you give your life to Jesus, as you respond to what God's called you to do, you actually now represent God, whether you like it or not. You do. And everything that you say, all your actions, your attitude, how you respond to what's happening in our world, you are now a carrier of Jesus. You take him wherever you go. And I don't know if you noticed this at first reading, but I don't want to move past this part. We've got to sit here for just a moment before we pray. But there is a progression that Paul, the apostle, clearly lines out here in God's word. In fact, I would call it this, the Christian journey for every one of you. And I'm in that. There's three steps that we see here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Here's the first step. And some of you have not taken that step, but today can be your day. The first step is that you become convinced that Jesus loves you, that he cares for you, and then you surrender your life to him. That's the first step. It's the first step. It's where you start, that you would fully go all in. Not playing like games with God, you know. I'm going to act like a Christian this day and not Friday night. You know, I'm going to act like I am now, but not when I go on vacation, because what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. You know, I got kids in the room, got to keep going. See, you know what I'm saying? Like sometimes, all the time, no times, this time. I mean, just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. That you would fully surrender your life to God. That you would become convinced. What does convinced mean? No doubt. Like, no doubt. I'm convinced. That's the first step. Here's the second step. You are then compelled to show others the truth that you now know. Think about it like this. If you came up with a cure for the coronavirus, would you keep it to yourself? God forbid you would keep it to yourself. And we're talking about one virus, one sickness, one disease. Why in the world, if you've truly accepted Christ, would you keep the answer and the cure for all sin to yourself? What a travesty, what a shame that you would have the answer, that you would have the cure, and you would walk by your family and your friends and your coworkers and your classmates and not tell them. That's the next step. And some of you, you've taken the first step. You've gotten saved like 1,300 times, which, by the way, you can only get saved once. But man, every single week, hand up, hand up, hand up. God's got to be safe. You just got to be safe. Like, when are you going to go all in? When are you going to fully surrender your life to Jesus? When are you going to give him everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly, like it all? And some of you, you've taken that step, but you haven't taken the second step. And then the last step is you become a carrier of the good news. That everywhere you go, you're a walking, talking billboard for Jesus. Some of you, you've taken the first two steps, but you've never responded to the compelling that you feel from the Holy Spirit. Can I say it to you in a different way? And if you're taking notes, write this down. What I'm talking about is salvation, burden, witness. So three steps. Salvation, burden, witness. Convinced, compelled, carrier. Salvation, burden, witness. If you've only taken the first two steps, today is your day to start taking that third step. To tell everybody that you can. And use words if you have to.
to tell everybody you can about Jesus and what he's done in your life. The church, I see, we're a group of carriers that everywhere we go, we're carrying Jesus with us and we're showing people what it looks like to follow him. So before I pray, I want to give you a practical handle to this third point, a practical next step, something that's going to happen this summer. And this is your first opportunity, many of you, to take that third step. And some of you won't do it, but I'm praying and I'm hoping that many of you will. And what I'm talking about is a serve day. And here in this room, if you could put that on the screen behind me, please, Mark. But I'm talking about a serve day. And on Saturday, July the 11th, for some of you, this is your first opportunity to take that third step, to serve, to say, you know what? I'm going to not only be compelled, but I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to serve somebody. In fact, I'm really excited about this because before I even got here, I knew we were going to do this. But the first 2 years, God said, no, wait, you're not ready. The church is not ready. And I finally got the green light this summer. And so here's what we're going to do. When I tell some of you to serve, you start having just like compulsions. You're just like flipping out on me. Like, because you think it's a life sentence, you know? Like, if I serve to greet, then I'm going to have to die for them to let me stop greeting. You know, if I serve in the kids, then I'm going to have to get real sick for a long time to stop serving in the kids. We think it's a life sentence, a lot of us. What I'm talking about today is one day, 3 hours. What's your excuse now? Well, you know what? I'm going to be on vacation on that day. Nobody's going on vacation right now. COVID-19, y'all. No, I'm going on vacation. Show me your tickets, okay? Like, you need to sign up. You need to serve. I don't know about you, but I believe our church should make a difference in our community. Anybody believe with me? I think we should make an impact in our community. I think we should serve together as families. You better believe I'm going to take my kids serving with me. My wife's going to be right beside me. We're going to serve. We're going to make a difference. We're going to make an impact. Why? Because we have a burden for our city. Do you? And if you don't, the problem's not with God. The problem's with you. You should have a burden to reach people. People. And if you've been healed by Jesus, you understand that people are hurting. People need hope. I moved my family here over 2 years ago to shout loudly of Jesus. But can I tell you something? I can't do it by myself. And if you just want to show up and play church and say amen at the right times and fake that Christian smile, showing your teeth and pretend like everything's okay and hop in and out, then this isn't the church for you. I'm looking for some men and women, young and old, that we can do God's business together, that we could partner together to change our city. If God, I'm going off script, y'all watch out. If God can change the world with 11 disciples, some of you know what happened with Judas, the 12th. If God can change the world with 11, then I believe he can use us to change the world. But are you willing? Are you open? Have you received the burden? And have you responded to the burden? Let's pray together.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at ChristCove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at ChristCove Houston.